Turn to Acts, the second chapter. Father, we thank you. We praise you as we come this morning for the next few moments. There's a lot that has gone on and is going on, but we pray that you would push, by your Spirit, you would push it all to the side. You would let us hear what you're saying to us, what you're speaking into our lives this morning. Lord, don't let any of the busyness of this morning interfere with what you're about to say, because it is crucial to us. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Gerlin and I were touring the Memorial Presbyterian Church in St. Augustine. St. Augustine is where we honeymooned. We go back nearly every year around our anniversary. And this last year, for the first time, we were touring the Memorial Presbyterian Church there. It was built by Henry Flagler in honor of his daughter, Jenny Louise. Jenny Louise was pregnant, and she had complications with that pregnancy and died totally, completely, unexpectedly. And Henry Flagler, as you know, one of the wealthiest men in the world, he and Rockefeller were partners during that era, and he was one of the wealthiest men in the entire world. He had that church built in 1 year. 1 year. And you got to remember now, this was in the early 1800s, and just a fabulous, fabulous building it is. It is ornate. It is decorated with stained glass by Tiffany. Yes. It has a mahogany pulpit that is literally about four times the size of this pulpit. It has a pipe organ that literally fills the entire back of the church. It has marble tile in many of the places. The dome of the cathedral up in the top has Tiffany glass, and etched in it are the symbols of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Etched in it. It is just a beautiful, ornate, unbelievable building. If you have a chance to tour it, I encourage you to do so. But with all due respect to it, it is dead. It has no signs of life. And I want you to understand, I mean no disrespect to it, but that you see no signs of life in it. In fact, it has a mausoleum attached. It was, I'm not saying it did not have life. At one time, it had life. It was one of the growing churches, just reaching that community. Has a mausoleum attached to it, and it houses not only Henry Flagler's daughter and granddaughter, unborn grandchild, but it also houses his second wife that is actually attached. It's part of the church, attached to the church. And there's just this feel, this sense in the building that it is more of a museum than it is a living sanctuary. And I made my way around to one of the lecterns that was in one of the side rooms. They have these big wings that go off of the main. It's built in the shape of a cross, and in one of the wings there is a big, huge lectern. And this lectern is made out of just fine oak and laid open. And is this Bible, one of the original Bibles that was used to preach from the main pulpit, and it's laid open. And it is laid open. And I, you know me, I had to go up there. And as I walked up and looked, it was fascinating to me, because what was printed, where it was laid open to, was Joel chapter 2. You remember the scripture, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will have visions. Your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This verse speaks of life. And yet this feeling in this building was more of a museum than a life-giving sanctuary. This is Pentecost Sunday. This morning is Pentecost Sunday. And as we enter into Pentecost Sunday, there has to be something more to the reality of the Spirit and the presence of God than just reading Joel chapter 2 or reading Acts chapter 2. There has to be more to this reality in our life about the Spirit of God living in our lives than just words written on a page. Amen? There has to be. So this morning, I want to spend just a few moments. I just have a simple thought that I want to relate to you this morning. And I want us to read what is the classical Pentecostal text. If you have it, open it to Acts chapter 2. I want us to read it together. When the day of Pentecost came, They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound of the blowing or the rushing of a mighty, the NIV says violent wind, came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There has to be this morning, on this Pentecost Sunday, there has to be something more to this reality of the Spirit of God and the presence of God in our lives than just a day marked on a calendar or words written on a page laying on an old stale pulpit in an old stale building. Hello? Yes. There has to be something more this morning. And I want to talk with you just for a moment about what is it? What is significant to us today? Now, understand, we could preach on this one theme right on and on. What is the significance of the Spirit of God in our lives? But I want to center in on just one thing this morning that I think captures it for us. I want you to just listen to me for just a few moments. The presence of God all the way back through time, the presence of God all the way back through the Bible, the presence of God had been valued as a defining factor in the lives of the people. It was valued by Moses. It was valued by Israel. You remember, we've talked about it some, how that Moses valued the presence of God so much that in Numbers chapter 33, Moses said this. He said, and we've talked about this some, he said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't send us up. If your presence doesn't go with us, then don't send us. And then he adds this to it. He says, for how will the people of the earth know that there's any difference in us and them except for your presence? Do you understand this morning, church, that the value of the presence of God is that it is the defining factor in life today? There is no other factor. The Spirit of God and the presence of God living inside of you, it is what separates you and I from everyone else. Church, it's what makes the difference. The Spirit of God makes the difference. The living presence of God makes the difference. Moses said, if you don't go, I'm not going. If your presence is not with me, I can't go. So what is the significance of that? What is the significance of that? You know, that's a dangerous proposition when you stop and think about it. When I say a dangerous proposition, I mean it's easily to cross over a line, Virginia. When we start talking about the presence of God as being the defining factor, the thing that separates us from every other nation on earth, as Moses said, and as you and I would say, makes us different than the other people, that's a dangerous proposition because it is easy to cross over. And I would submit to you that many in Pentecost have crossed over the line and said that it makes me better than somebody else. Hello. You understand, don't you? And listen, I've been in this thing. I think I was born into Pentecost. Most likely the first person I heard speak in tongues was my mama when I was still in the womb. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was born into this thing. Been in this thing 51 years. And there have been some times in our history where we have crossed over that line. And there's been this almost a better than thou, a comeuppance, if you will, that almost this better than thou. So what is the, it is the significant thing in my life, but how do I differentiate that and it not making me better than everyone else? And I read something this week by a pastor. It is the most profound, simple, and yet profound statement about this idea that I've ever seen written, and I read it, and it just has been on my heart ever since I read it. I could not get it off, and here it is. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down. The Spirit of God and the presence of God does not make me better than anybody else. It makes me better than me. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? The presence of God doesn't make me better than the Lutheran or the Presbyterian or the Methodist or the Baptist or some other Pentecostal or some other church. It doesn't make me better than them. Can I get an amen this way? It doesn't make me better than anybody else, but it makes Glenn better than Glenn could ever be without the Spirit and the presence of the living God inside of me. I'm not better than anybody else, but I'm better than I could ever be with the Spirit and the presence of God living inside of me. Amen? Right. That's the point of this Pentecost Sunday for us that are here this morning. That's the point that I think the Holy Spirit is wanting to get into us and inside of us this morning, is that the Spirit of God and the presence of God makes Brent better and Mike better and Judy better and Geraldine better and every one of us better than we could possibly be otherwise. The comparison, my friend, is not between me and anybody else out there. The comparison is between me and what I would be without the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, I would be a loser. Without the Spirit of God, I'd be a failure. Without the Spirit of God, I would be nothing. But with the Spirit of God inside of me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not better than the guy down the street, but I'm better than the guy that I see in the mirror every morning, because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. Amen. There's some of the prophets, one of the Old Testament prophets, that captures this for us this morning. Here's what Ezekiel says about this. Ezekiel speaking, I believe, both prophetically for his generation and for the generation to come. Ezekiel puts it this way. I was speaking for God. He said this, I will give you, it's coming up on the screen, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your old heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Watch this. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Do you understand what Ezekiel is saying this morning? Ezekiel is capturing the idea that Israel on their own could not follow God, that Israel on their own could not go after God, that Israel on their own, all of the laws, all of the Old Testament, all of the rituals, all of the ceremonies had proven that Israel on their own could not follow God. But now, with the Spirit of God inside of them, they could follow His decrees, they could carry out His commandments, they could follow after Him. Ezekiel was saying, there's coming a day, my friend, when God will take the old heart out and the old spirit out and the old man done away with, and a new man. What he was saying was this: He won't make you better than anybody else, but He'll make you better than you can possibly be without His Spirit living inside of you. That's the reality of Pentecost. That's the reality of Pentecost. Ezekiel then gives a vision. You remember the vision of dead bones, the valley of dry bones, and I won't go through preach that whole thing, but in the middle of it, he says this. He said, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. You see, without the Spirit of God, Connie, I'm dried up, dead, dusty, old bones. But with the Spirit of God inside of me, I have life, I have abundant life, and I have eternal life with the Spirit of God living inside of me. Amen. I'm better than I could ever be with the Spirit of God inside of me. He said, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. Somebody, turn to somebody this morning and say, the Spirit of God lives in me and I am alive. Amen? I'm alive. Now, what does that mean in a practical way? What does that mean in an everyday kind of way? In other words, what I'm asking you this morning is this: if that is the reality, that is the truth, that is the power of that truth, but when it's unleashed and unlocked in my life on Monday morning, right? And on Tuesday evening, and on Wednesday when the dishes are piled high and the laundry's piled higher, right? And it's been a long day at the office, and you got that customer. You know who I'm talking about? Any of them work in customer service, a face just popped up. You got that customer, right? That tries everything in you. What does it mean then that I am better than I would normally be with the Spirit of God inside of me? Romans and Galatians captures it. This is the only point I'm wanting to make this morning. You are better than you would be with the Spirit of God living inside of you. And Romans captures it this way. He says this, and I put part of it up on the screen. I'm going to read a little more than's on the screen just so you get the whole sense of it. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Hello. Can somebody say what I would be? That is what I would be. But watch this. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Do you get it this morning? What I would be is old nature, old flesh, old man. What I am because of the Spirit inside of me is I am living in the Spirit and my mind is set on the things of the Spirit. You understand, don't you? Without the reality of Romans, of what Paul is saying here in Romans, we're no different than that old dusty Bible laying on an old pulpit in an old church. Right? Except unless, of course, Romans 8 and 5 is actually true in our lives. He says the sinful nature of man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Amen? See, I'm better with the Spirit than I would be without the Spirit of God inside of me. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Do you hear that? It is impossible for me to live the life God wants me to live except being full of His Spirit and His presence inside of me. If you are here this morning and you are trying to do it on your own, can I tell you, you will fail miserably, and I'm glad that you do. Because if you could do it on your own, you would do it on your own. In fact, I'm fascinated by the arguments. You hear me make this philosophical argument. You hear me make it from time to time, but it just overwhelms me. The fact I'm fascinated by the idea that somehow humanity is going to fix this thing. If humanity could fix this thing, they would have fixed it by now. We've had enough technology, enough education, enough medical advancements, enough science advancements. We've had enough advancements in poetry and art and literature. We've had enough advancements in military power and economic power. If we could fix this thing, we'd have fixed it by now. But you can't do this on your own. Aren't you glad you don't have to? I'm better with the Spirit of God inside of me than I would be without Him. Notice what it says. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. However, I love the howevers of God and the therefores of God. When you come across the therefore in the Bible, you need to take time to find out what it's there for. However, or therefore, you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God lives inside of you, aren't you glad that when you are sitting at your desk and across from you is that customer, aren't you glad you aren't controlled by the nature of the flesh, but by the Spirit of God? Can I get an amen? Amen. See, it's got to be real. It's got to be tangible. It's got to go to work with you. It's got to go to the ballpark with you. It's got to go to school and sit in the desk with you. Amen? If I'm better with the Spirit of God living inside of me than I would be otherwise, then Monday morning at work, I've got to be better with the Spirit of God living inside of me than I would be otherwise. That, I know that's a deep statement, and it'll take you a minute, but just think about it. If the reality of the Spirit of God living inside of me means that I'm better than my sinful nature, my greedy nature, my vengeful nature, my temper nature, then I, because of the Spirit of God living inside of me, better be better than my sinful nature, my greedy nature, my temper nature. Amen? And the only way to do that is live full of the Spirit. I have to live full of the Spirit inside of me. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 cannot just be a scripture we read once or twice a year on Pentecost Sunday. It's got to be the reality of where I live each day of my life. Paul puts it another way in Galatians. Let me just read a little bit of this to you. And then I'm gonna sum this up and pull this down together. And we're gonna move to another season, another part of the service this morning. Paul, writing to the Galatians, is making a similar point that he's making in Romans chapter 8. Only in Galatians, he makes it even more forceful. In Galatians, he says this, I say, live by the Spirit. Remember now, he's writing to the Galatians, and he's trying to set in order their practical life. He's not teaching them theology at this point. This is near the end of this letter, and he's practical, and he says, I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. In that, watch this, in that they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. What Paul is saying here is this. You have, by the Spirit of God living inside of you, it makes you better than you would otherwise be. It doesn't make me better than anybody else. It makes me better than Glenn. Because Glenn wants to strike out. Come on now, don't get quiet on me like I'm the only one. See, the old nature wants to deal in revenge, right? The old nature says, I'm not going to get even, I'm going to get ahead, right? The old nature says, I want to be first. The Spirit of God living inside of me says, I'm going to live by what the Spirit desires and not what the flesh desires, not what the sinful nature desires. They are in contrast or conflict with each other. And so what Paul is saying here is this, you can be better than you are on your own. The Spirit of God does not make me, and the presence of God does not make me better than anybody else, but it makes me better than me. You know, there's something fascinating about men and women. In the fact that, what I'm particularly, I know you thought, oh, wow, that's a profound statement. I mean, there's a lot that's fascinating, but getting real deep this morning. No, here it is. I live in the house with my wife and two daughters, and so all my life I've lived with three women. And here's what I've discovered. With me, when I wake up in the morning, this is as good as it gets. You know what I'm saying? Come on now, you know what I'm saying. I mean, this is, and you know, I'll get a shower, and I will shave, and I will run a towel through my head, but pretty much, Joy, this is it. This is as good as it gets, right? Geraldine gets up, and Danielle Kaselin get up, and they go in the bathroom. And when they come out 3.5 hours later, when they come out, they are better than they would be. You understand what I'm saying? There's been this transformation. With me, this is as good as it gets. You could paint me up, doll me up, all you want to. This is it. Makeup, lipstick, eyelashes will not change. This is it. This is as good as it gets. Dancing around that real carefully there because I could get in trouble here in just a minute, real easy. You're praying for me, guys, aren't you? As funny as that is, you listen to me. You are better than you would be with the Spirit of God living inside of you. The Spirit of God does something not on the outside. It does something on the inside of the heart. And it's not makeup applied to the outside. And it's not fixings on the outside. But the Spirit of, as Ezekiel said, a new heart and a new spirit has been put inside. And now because of that new heart and that new spirit, I can live according to the Spirit. I can carry out the laws of God and the decrees of God. I can follow His Spirit. I'm better than I would be with the Spirit of God living inside of me. I'm thankful, aren't you, this morning that this is not as good as it gets, that when I'm in the Spirit, it gets better than better, my friend, with the Spirit of God living inside of me. Amen? So what I'm saying to you this morning is don't look in the mirror and say, this is as good as it gets. This is all there is. The Spirit of God, the presence of God will not make you better than anybody else. But it will make you better than you can possibly be without the Spirit and the presence of God living inside of you. With the Spirit of God, You can overcome temptation. With the Spirit of God, you can push back against that jealous nature. With the Spirit of God, you can forge a new relationship with that friend or that person or that individual. Listen to me. If you're, I'm just feeling into my spirit. You listen to me this morning. If in your relationships, you find that those relationships are, I'm talking about friendships here. If you find that those friendships are controlled by jealousy and me and who I am and what I want, I'm telling you, there's a better way to live that relationship. By the Spirit of God, you can put others first. By the Spirit of God, you can put yourself last. By the Spirit of God, you don't have to be controlled by that. You can overcome that. By the Spirit of God, you can resist the lustful spirit that is rampant in our society. Yes, you can. By the Spirit of God living inside of you. Now, let me tell you what that does not mean. That does not mean that you can just open up your windows and doors and the soul and windows to your soul and take in anything that you desire to take in and just not be affected by it. What it does mean is that the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and discernment when to turn that thing off, close that magazine, look the other way, stop that conversation, get out of that relationship. Amen? Amen? You can. You can. And by the Spirit of God, you can have a powerful, dynamic, incredible ministry. I'm not talking about you having to stand behind a pulpit, but every one of you has a ministry inside of you. And some of you may be trying to do it on your own. Can I tell you, you can be better than you can be with the Spirit of God living inside of you. So here it is in a nutshell this morning. Main point that I want to leave you with you this morning is this. The Spirit and the presence of God makes me better than me. Therefore, I must live full of the Spirit and the presence of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Will you make that declaration out loud? Will you make this declaration out loud with me? The Spirit of God and the presence of God makes me better than me. Will you say that aloud with me? The Spirit of God and the presence of God makes me better than me. That's good news, church. That is good news this morning. So in a tangible way, what does that mean this morning? I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your relationships. It'll make a difference in your witness. It'll make a difference in your home and in your workplace. You can be better than you are with the Spirit of God living inside of you. What that means this morning is this. Is that you this morning, if you are in this place, you need to seek the fullness of the Spirit and the presence of God in your life. For some of you, that may mean being filled with the Spirit of God for the first time. For others, it may mean being refilled with the Spirit of God. If that's a foreign concept to you, you should read Peter and Paul's life carefully. You'll find in Scripture at least three distinct times when they were filled and refilled with the Spirit. So this morning, we're going to do some more praise and worship, and a few of us are going to transition to water baptism. But I'm going to open these altars up, and Geraldine's going to be available and come and kind of direct this season. And this morning, when they begin to sing, I'm going to ask you to stand and just worship. And if you are so inclined to come around these altars and ask the Lord to be filled with His Spirit or be refilled with His Spirit, because you can be better than you can be with the Holy Spirit inside of you. It doesn't make me better than anybody else, Joy. It makes me better than me, and I'm so glad it does. Amen? So this morning, here's the invitation. If you need to be filled or refilled with His Spirit, I'm inviting you right now to invite Him to do that. If you need someone to pray with you, you can come down. Or if you just want to come to these altars are always open. I want you to come to these altars. When you respond, Geraldine or she will get someone to come and pray with you about what the need is in your life. So stand with me, won't you? Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you've spoken in our lives. This is a powerful word. We sensed it in our spirits, not just in our emotions, but in our spirits this morning. You spoke this word into some lives. There's some people that are here this morning. They knew right now. They know, yep, I know now why I'm here this morning. They're struggling with an issue or something in their life. Or maybe there's some that aren't struggling with anything. They just don't feel fulfilled. And Lord, they just feel like they're at the end of themselves. And that's a good thing. Because this morning, you're here to feel and refill them. And I thank you and I praise you for it. And I ask, Lord, that you will, and I know you will be faithful to your promise, that if we ask, you will give. And I thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the praise team worships, invite God to fill you or to refill you this morning. And these altars are open, and I want you to respond as you feel led. I see you again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace.